Some replacement level dudes talking about their home team. Starting a Braves podcast was their daggum dream. They like Nick Markakis, even the long ball. One day they'll have more clout than Ken Rosenthal. Oh, you're listening to that Knock-O-Nation podcast show. Oh, Knock-O-Nation podcast show.
Hey, old Knock-O-Nation, how you doing? It's been a long time. Hey, Josh. Hey, Jake.
Hey.
I don't even know what to say right
Conway.
Now.
Conway.
Glad to be here.
Guys, I have to ask, like, how did Conway, get away with being so dirty? He was a dirty man.
Great question, Kenny. Back in the old world, America used to have testicles.
Oh.
And humor. And she didn't give a fuck. And you just minded your own business.
That's not true.
You didn't get offended.
Though.
I mean,
that's really not true. Because, like, they wouldn't let Elvis shake his hips on TV, but so much. And, like, they censored a lot of stuff. I mean, like, real world, yeah. Like, you go to the concerts and stuff. But, like, Conway was, like, number one Billboard charts with Slow Hand.
Well, maybe I'm just thinking about, like, the 70s and 80s, perhaps. Because that seems like the era where, like, all the fucks were thrown out the window. America, if you get offended, it's on you. You know what I mean? That's kind of how it was back then.
Yeah,
in the
I mean,
day.
I get that. I don't disagree.
Really
with you
through the 90s.
Completely. It's just like a song like Slow Hand that's not even sort of veiled what he's saying.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
Like, you have to try to make that song not be dirty. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's 100% obvious. Not a man that just comes and goes. You know, it's like, what? Like, I mean, he just flat out. I was listening to it this weekend, and I'm like, he just flat out said that. He didn't even, like, veil it. He literally said it. And
can rappers still do these sorts of things, though?
Yes, but they're black, Josh. They're allowed to. I'm just saying, like, in our culture, right. You know. You're allowed to. No, I mean, nothing personal. That's fine. I'm just
saying.
Who
had a better hairy chest?
Ooh.
Conway or your boy?
Kris Kristofferson.
Okay.
Although Conway's is impressive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Conway is like he had a pube bush that went all the way up and sprouted out of the top of his little deep cut V-neck.
Chest pubes to his ball fro.
I mean, yeah. It was just like one big forest that the tree sprouted at the top, and it was like a reverse beard. It was like David Allan Coe's beard grew from Conway's chest up towards his face.
I still can't believe you're not very hairy.
I'm really not. Do you?
It's amazing.
That's so bizarre.
Wow.
You're welcome. I mean, you can see I'm not a very hairy man. There you go. I'm actually. Wow.
Kenny just showed us his dong. You guys can't see this at home, but he just showed us his dong.
You're welcome. But Josh, you should know that. Like,
he tucked it. He tucked it between his legs.
Like, you should know that, Josh, though, because like if I were a very hairy man, like this would grow in right through here. I hate that it doesn't.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah.
Like, I wish my beard did grow in like under my chin.
There's
got to
be dudes with that situation who are also hairy though.
Probably. Right?
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah. See that? I usually go. That's just friction. So it's just rubbed off.
Gotcha. So bad, JT.
So
bad.
I like that people used to write country songs about other things, even if it was just banging or putting your hand down a girl's pants.
They still do.
I downloaded some music this week, and two country songs on the Spotify new releases. One by Brad Paisley called No Eye in Beer. And then one by some guy named Jameson Rogers and Luke Combs, who, I don't know, Cold Beer Calling My Name. Can we put, like, a moratorium on songs about beer?
Yes.
For, like,
yes, we can.
The next 5 years? Hey, you know, we need more songs about beer. Stop, please. Please stop.
To be fair, old country guys also had songs about beer.
Tom T. Hall, I like beer. Yes.
Tear my beer, you know.
But it's different right now, though. It's all over the place. It's like every song.
I'm going to hire a wino. Yeah. I'm just saying. Like,
Merle Haggard's, I think I'll just stay here and drink.
Yeah.
But yeah,
there's a tear in my beer.
That was 45 years ago.
Yeah, I know.
And they've been doing them ever since. And it's time to...
B-double-E-double-R-U-N, beer run.
If I'm a guy like Jason Isbell and I work hard to own my craft and put out good work, and then I see like Brad Paisley, who's a great guitarist, probably an even better guitarist than I am, and he puts out No I in Beer, like I'm pissed. I'm like,
okay,
why is this guy making 10 times the money I am? And he's writing songs called No I in Beer.
So if you could take 5 crappy modern artists, and I'll include like Brad Paisley in that, even though I like Brad Paisley, but like his music's kind of crappy, and you could combine them, and you could combine them into a band. Oh. Who would you
pick? Current?
Current? Yeah. I mean, relatively current. Yeah, like in the last 10, 15 years, something like that.
It's already been done, bro. It's already been done, bro. The greatest band ever, Little Big Town.
Okay. All right.
I'm sorry. JT. That was too far. If you guys never want to record a podcast with me again, I would understand.
Here's the thing: like, what kind of band are we talking? Because, like, I don't like. Do I need a drummer? Okay. Like, who's playing drums?
Country band. You don't have to have a drummer. You can still have session musicians if you need.
Okay, so you're just combining like three. Basically, you're combining. You're making like a traveling Wilburys here.
Basically,
you're taking like four or five lead guys and making a super group.
Right. Pretty much. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, this is like the Four Horsemen back when right. Johnny and Willie
the young people listening to this just missed the Traveling Wilburys reference. They have no idea what you're talking about.
No idea what you're talking about.
That's the biggest music supergroup of all time. I tell you, number one, I would go with Josh will hate this, but he gives a rock cred to it. Eric Church.
Yeah.
Eric Church is a hell of a live performer, hell of a guitar player, writes good stuff.
I'm going the next time Eric Church is anywhere within driving distance for Josh, I'm going to buy him tickets to go see him just so he has to sit through a live concert and then tell me that it's total trash.
Yeah, Ken, you know Josh hates going to church.
That's true. He does. Does. I'm cool with that. I think that Brad Paisley is going to be a guitarist. I think you guys kind of hit that one. I think if we're also going to have a second guitarist, we're going to have to get, what's his name, Josh? The Australian that sounds country?
Keith Urban?
Keith Urban, there you go. Yeah,
really should Keith be Keith Urban. Rural if he's going to be a country singer.
Wow. Low-hanging fruit. Who else you got, Josh? Like, who else should be a part of this super group?
Are we assimilating this together?
Yeah, why not?
Okay. So I've got a guy who I love this guy. Can we pick guys from the 90s?
Sure.
Okay.
As long as it's not like Garth Brooks, you know,
Actually, this is like mid-2000s, but Phil Vassar. Great piano player, great vocalist, low-key.
Did he do Butterfly Kisses?
That was Steve Werner.
That's Buddy Car.
Buddy Carlyle.
Butterfly Kisses? It wasn't Steve Warner.
It was covered by like five different people.
Not looking this up. It was
It wasn't
Dan something.
It was Bob Carlisle.
Bob Carlisle,
Buddy's brother.
Yeah. Okay,
but it was covered by like 20 different people. So I mean, you know,
if we're doing five guys, do you feel good about having like? Do we already have two guitar players?
We did Keith Urban and Brad Paisley, but
Eric Church.
We need something different. Eric Church also plays guitar.
He also plays a shitty golf.
I don't care about his golf game. Sucks. I like his music.
He's such a poser. Leroy Parnell.
Josh Brown calling someone a poser.
They called Trump Vane last show. Leroy Parnell.
Yeah.
Leroy Parnell.
Yeah, man. He can sling it. What? Okay. Great guitar player.
Okay. You know, we're trying to sell tickets to our concert here.
What? On the Road is a banger. On the road.
See, I'm thinking here's the thing. We're going to end up with a crowded stage of five guys all playing guitar at the same time,
Well, what do you know any bassists?
No,
do you
know
any country
music
bassists? Exactly. Or drummers?
Don
no,
Henley.
No one knows. No one.
He had a country-ish album.
He's, yeah.
Yeah, right. But I mean, like, they don't have to all play at the same
and
time.
All the, and all the
like,
female artists suck ass. There's no talented female artists right now.
Okay, I do like the
okay.
Miranda Lambert.
The chick that was married.
And the Pistol
yeah.
Annie.
Miranda
yes.
Lambert,
the
yeah.
She's good. They did with the... Jason Isbell's
yeah,
wife.
Yeah,
and the,
yeah, yeah.
No, that
yeah.
was the other one. That was the. There's two of them. There's the high women, highway women,
highway, highway women.
That's the one that's Brandi Carlile and Amanda Shires, and it's more of an Americana alt country.
And they're good. They're
and
actually
then
talented.
The Pistol Annies, which is one of them's married to a baseball player, and one of them's Miranda Lambert, and one of them's another Tommy Lauren, I think.
They have really like. Good writing.
Dude, yeah. Like they
pick yeah. really good songs.
Are they the know? Ones that did the take the man and the sin and you throw them all in and you put that sucker on spin? Or is that just Miranda?
That's Miranda Lambert. It all comes out in the wash. That's yeah, Miranda that Lambert.
That's true.
They did like Hell on stupid. Heels and Taking yeah. Pills and I Feel a Sin Coming On.
Best days, best days of my life ones. Is a good one. They got some good songs, man. They do. It's good stuff.
Would you guys Daddy. Admit though, yeah. like right now, current country music, like in regards to like female talent?
Oh, it's terrible.
Super weak right now.
Yeah, it's very weak.
Like, here's a hot take. I think Carrie Underwood absolutely sucks ass.
Yeah, it's just very. It's very.
Sucks. Her voice
vanilla.
Sucks. It's very. It's just.
I will
exactly.
say this. There was a
see, and then you got then There's you got no trash like Maddie and Tay. Maddie and Tay is like terrible.
There was a spot in the mid '90s too, where I couldn't tell who was what. Is it Jody Messina? Is it Martina McBride? Are they the same person? I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like they all blend together. Is yeah. Trisha Yearwood
There's
and
a couple
Mary
that
Chapin
stood
Carpenter?
Out, like, to
are
me.
They different? Are they the same? I'm not sure.
Whoa. You just went.
Which one sang Passionate Kisses? I can't even tell you. Was that Mary Chapin Carpenter? Cool, yes, Trisha Yearwood had She's in Love with a Boy.
Yeah,
which, along with Jack and Diane by John Mellencamp, is one of my two favorite songs that mention a Tasty Freeze.
You cannot say anything negative about Mary Chapin Carpenter on this podcast.
You can say all the negative stuff you want, JT. Josh doesn't edit anything. Just saying.
I just think the middle name is weird. Mary Carpenter is a fine name. It's very Jesus-ish. Mary and Carpenter.
Mary Chapin.
Like, what's she doing? Does she have thick thighs? Is she chafing?
Why is she chafing?
Like, you know, exactly. Like,
put some gold bond on it.
Gold bond, exactly. You need some
I
gold
bond. I hope Ashlyn's listening to the show. I hope, Ashlyn, if you're listening, please come to my defense and clear the great name of Mary Chapin Carpenter.
All right, Josh, I will come to your defense. There you go.
Wow.
You're welcome.
Can't even put on blue lipstick for that impression. That was weird.
I did. Papa Smurf says thanks. JT, you got a new truck?
Yeah, man. Got a new truck today.
So I see you got your Trump check is what that means,
yeah.
right? Like, Trump check, I'm getting a new truck.
So JT didn't just get a truck. Like, he got like a... You got like a badass truck, dude.
It's a it's a 2020 GMC Sierra Elevation Series.
Jesus,
I don't know what that means. It means my family couldn't fit in my old truck, so I had to get a new one.
So you got high, you got a truck, you got elevated on 420.
Yeah,
I like
right.
It.
I got the Elevation Series on 420. I was in the high Sierras. Yeah,
nice.
I'm the weed smoker of the group. That's me.
Yeah, it's totally you.
I called my buddy Steve. He's a GM at a dealership, and he hooked me up because we can't all fit in my truck. And so I was like, "Well, if we're gonna be going out to eat next week, we're gonna need a bigger truck to take to the Cracker Barrel."
How long has he been working there?
He moved there this fall. He's the one that sold me my old truck, but then he was down in Dublin, Georgia, which is about 50 miles away. Now he's about 2 miles from my house. And he's no longer just like a salesman. He's now the GM. So I went right to him.
He is the GM of the GMC.
Yeah. That's... So I'm pretty happy about it. It's got like 28 miles on it right now. So I'm pretty excited.
Well, it's beautiful. Yeah, it's even nice. The color is like it. Gorgeous.
Yeah, it's dark sky metallic. That's what they call it.
Dude, it's so pretty. Come pick me up in Boone.
Yeah, I'll be right there, buddy. I'm on my way.
JT is currently being filled with Corona.
For everybody that's being extra about the coronavirus, I'm drinking Corona Extra just for you guys. Because my Facebook timeline is definitely Corona Extra.
Mine's a shit show. I can't even.
Oh, man. Fellas, have you taken the journey, the glorious, wonderful journey that is The Last Dance with Michael Jordan?
Yeah, I watched the first. I guess it's the second or the third things planned tonight, I think. Mm-hmm. So I watched the first two Sunday night. It was amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Was amazing.
It reminded me that Scottie Pippen wasn't the first superstar that got underpaid. You know?
Wait. I mean, Nick Markakis? You said that backwards. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what
I knew where you were going with that. Yeah.
Sorry.
Womp womp. Joke fail by Josh.
Also, somebody tweeted his salaries after the Bulls. He made a shit ton of money. Like, I don't feel bad for him at all. Like,
he got paid.
They paint him in this documentary like, oh, poor Scottie, you know, like, got paid peanuts, but that motherfucker got paid.
Yeah, he got paid. The thing that it reminds me is that all the arguments about LeBron or Jordan are so dumb. LeBron's never been even remotely as good as Michael Jordan. Not even a little bit as good as Michael Jordan.
Well, here's the thing about it, too, is we're never going to get a 10-part docuseries on LeBron James. God, I hope we never get a 10-part docuseries on LeBron James. His whole life has been a docuseries. His whole life has been documented. We've seen every single movie he's ever made. Some of this stuff we're getting to see because behind the scenes of Jordan, it's amazing. Like, it's like watching the way he interacts with players, watching the way he barks at this team. We had heard stories about it, but seeing this kind of stuff, it's amazing. And there was no template for this. By the time LeBron came around, there was already a template for how superstars act. Michael was the first. Like, there were good basketball players before Michael. There were very good basketball players. There was Wilt, and there was Bill Russell, and there were several good basketball players. Michael was the first superstar. Michael was the first where he gets off a plane in Paris, and kids are pestering him, and it's like the Beatles. He was the first. He's the Babe Ruth of basketball. He's the guy it's larger than life.
Well, you know, it's like Wilbon said. There's only been three people that were ever close. Michael in sports. Michael Jordan, Muhammad Ali, and Babe Ruth. Like, there's been nobody else that
Tiger
was that
in the,
big
that
a deal.
Conversation.
True. Now probably so.
Tiger is
Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson in music is probably the Beatles, and Michael Jackson in music are probably like the only two that ever reached like that insane. Like, the Beatles for sure had that insane factor. Like, they show up and people would just go crazy. I guess Elvis had a little bit of that too. But
yeah, I mean, he's so famous. You could ask your grandma a picture, who's this? And she would know, oh, that's Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Not even just
like,
that.
I'm 90% sure most grandmas would be able to nail it. That's how famous he is. Like, and it's there was an aura about him. You can't ever be big because now we know too much about our athletes. We're too close.
Too connected.
If you had told me at 10 years old there's an app I can get on a phone or a computer and I can talk directly to Michael Jordan, my mind would be blown. Like because I can tweet LeBron James. Won't get a response, but I can tweet LeBron James right now and tell him if I think he's great or if he sucks. I can go directly and send it directly to him.
Yeah,
I can do that. And that's a kind of a weird thing because there used to be
weird.
This barrier, this social barricade between us and our athletes.
Yeah.
And so they were larger than life because we couldn't touch them. They operated in a world that we didn't operate in.
Yeah.
And now we know too much about, like, we know the names of their kids. We know where they live. We know how much money they make. It's not the same.
We know everything.
Watching that documentary, I realized how much, in my mind, I have a recency bias on Michael Jordan. Because there's been times like I actually kind of entertain the debate between Jordan and LeBron because LeBron's such a physical big player, right? He can so dominate and change a game. Watching that video though, I realized that my mind forgets Michael being the little guy on the court that scored 63 points, that against the best Boston team possibly to ever be assembled, you know, in the playoffs. And Michael weighs, like, I guess in those things, Michael probably weighs 140 pounds soaking wet when he first comes in the NBA.
And you know, he's that
a
tall.
Little guy. Yeah. No, he's like 6'5", you know.
I kind of, you know, never really put that together. But obviously, like, he was larger than life, and his whole star power was just next level and all that. And there's that cool moment where Steve Kerr talked about what JT just mentioned, and that, like, you know, back in the day, they didn't have social media, and so, like, they could get away from it and stuff. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing, too, like, for me, and I'm not a basketball savant, but I've seen on Twitter last 5 years all these the talking chops of, like, basketball will just poo-poo on Michael Jordan because, I guess, the defense he played up against. I'm sorry. When I watch videos of that motherfucker, he was incredible. His coordination, his speed and accuracy, like, he was incredible. So I don't, you know, I'm not a basketball coach, and I don't know my defensive metrics and stuff like that, but I just hear that all the time. Like,
it's crazy.
There's a little bit of truth in that. Yeah, LeBron probably plays against better defenses than Michael Jordan played against. Okay.
But, no, I mean, no, not even for a minute. I don't even think it's close.
If you go look at the 92 Dream Team roster and look at those are Michael Jordan's peers. There's like 11 great basketball, and then Christian Laettner is on there for some reason.
yeah, that's right.
Affirmative action says you need another white guy.
Yeah, it should have been Shaquille O'Neal. It totally should have been Shaquille O'Neal. But
oh gosh, can you imagine like 18-year-old Shaq? Like,
yeah.
But I mean, it's star-studded. You got, I mean, Magic, Larry Bird, Reggie Miller, Isaiah Thomas, Patrick Ewing, Alonzo Mourning, Hakeem Olajuwon, Clyde Drexler, Charles Barkley.
Oh man,
I mean, this is a guy who played against some of the all-time greats, and he was like, he's really, it sounds dumb to say, like it sounds super cheesy, but he was bigger than basketball because you didn't have to be a basketball fan. And I watch a lot of basketball. My dad's a big basketball fan. I grew up watching a lot of basketball, but even my friends that didn't watch basketball knew like the entrance music they played for the Bulls games when the lights would come down. And now from North Carolina. And it was, I mean, when they played that at the end of episode one, dude, it was goosebumps. I was like 8 years old again.
Yeah.
Like, I can still tell you, like, I can still tell you where I was sitting when he illegally pushed off Byron Russell and hit the game winning shot in the 98 finals against the Jets. I can tell you exactly where I was sitting. And I got out, and I went outside my yard and like ran around in circles because MJ hit the shot. Like,
yeah.
You know, and I still recall that. He was just, and it wasn't the way, like, nowadays we know so much and we have so many opinions about everything that people don't just appreciate. There's half the people that like LeBron and half the people don't. And half the people liked Kobe and half the people didn't. The way I remember it, and I could be wrong, dude, every kid loved Michael Jordan. Yeah. Like, there was just,
I don't remember.
There was no debate.
Like, there was not that kid. Maybe there was like one kid on the playground who was like, I don't even know. I hate Michael Jordan. Like,
well, that's like Detroit fans probably hated Michael Jordan.
Well, yeah,
that's about the only people that hated Michael Jordan.
Yeah, but it wasn't like it is now, where it was like LeBron. Half the people will love him. Half the people are like, oh, shut up, LeBron. We're tired of you. Like, it was just everybody understood we're witnessing greatness, and nobody was like jaded about it. You know what I mean?
Also, Michael wasn't trying to make political statements at the time, which probably didn't.
That's true. Anything. I think he said Republicans buy shoes too.
Yeah, so. Exactly. so here was the, okay. Here's the things to me that made it so cool. I never got to see Jordan play in college. Like, that was before my time. And so to be able to see that footage of him winning national championships was really special. How good he was for Dean Smith, and the fact that he hit that shot, what was it, his sophomore year, his freshman year, whatever it was, when they were in the national championship, I guess it was sophomore year, and they kicked him the ball and nobody was expecting it, and he nails that shot. So he goes and wins the national championship, and he's like, oh yeah, maybe I could be a really great basketball player. Like, he makes the statement. That was the moment that I knew I could really be something. I'm like, dude, you were already so freaking amazing. But then you hear footage of Dean Smith talking about him being so smart. You hear Bob Knight saying, this is the great – like, Bob Knight coached him in the Olympics as an amateur, And Bob Knight comes away saying, that's the greatest basketball player I've ever seen play. He's the best athlete. He's the best skilled. He's the best leader. He's the best competitor.
Yeah.
I've never seen another athlete that had all that put together. He's the best athlete I've ever seen play. And he's like 18 years old. And Bob Knight said, yeah, yeah, nobody's touching him. You know, like he's the best.
I forgot how fast
he
was.
That was interesting. He said that in 1984.
Right. Right. They That's said crazy. That.
A solid 7 years before his first NBA title. I was before he'd played a game in the NBA.
I was reading a thing that said Bob Knight tried to convince the GM. He was buddies with the GM of the, I think it was the Portland Trailblazers that picked second that year.
Took Sam Bowie.
Yeah, and took Sam Bowie. That he told him, said, you need to take Michael Jordan. And they said, we need a center. And Bob Knight said, play him at center. Take Michael Jordan.
Like, but you remember the interviews they had with guys that were saying, you know, hey, you got to be a big man to win in this league.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be tall, and he's only 6 foot. And that was the thinking back then was, well, like Sam Bowie was 7'1". Yep, 7'1" doesn't take a day off. You're 7'1" every day.
Right.
I get that. Like, that's great. But I don't know when the Sam Bowie docuseries is coming out.
Talk about the greatest swing and a miss.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Like,
what's y'all's take on the GM? What's his name? Jerry
Krause.
Jerry Krause.
What? I didn't know anything about him. So I knew I grew up watching
scout.
Jordan, so I knew a lot about Michael Jordan, and so a lot of that was like, oh yeah, this is just kind of a refresher, I guess. I even knew I was pretty privy to how good Pippen was, but I didn't know anything about Krause in that situation and how he was, and that was pretty interesting.
It's interesting. He was a baseball scout for the White Sox, which for one,
how do you
tells
go from
me,
a baseball scout to the GM of a fucking franchise?
Probably,
like, whose dick did he suck?
You probably can't do both. Like, you're probably going to suck at one of those. Like, you're either a terrible scout and you should be an NBA GM, or you're an NBA GM just because you're friends with the owner of the team and he likes you. Now, granted, he traded for Scottie Pippen on draft day. You know, they did draft, and they drafted Michael Jordan, and they were able to sign guys that made that team work, and brought in Dennis Rodman, and signed a whole bunch of guys, a whole bunch of skill players that made that team work. Steve Kerr's and Bill Winnington's and Luke Longley and Tony Kukoc and all those guys. So, yeah, I mean, does he deserve credit for it? Yeah, of course he does. Of course he does. But I don't think he had the people skills to be a general manager. You know what I mean? Like, you have to have a way, especially with a team with that many superstars. Nowadays, we kind of understand that, hey, there's a short window. We've got a lot of expensive players. So
not
we can't
just
keep
superstars,
this together
but like,
forever.
Not just the players, though. Like, the players loved Phil Jackson, you know? Like, I never really knew that. Like,
and Phil was Jordan like having Phil another Jackson. All-star player, though. Phil was probably the greatest basketball coach of all time.
Yeah, Jerry, you leave that shit alone. You do your thing. You stay at your desk, and you leave that shit alone.
Yeah, like what? Red Auerbach's the only guy even close to Phil.
Yeah, and you could argue that. I mean, if you think Jordan played in a watered down league, then my God, the Celtics of the 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
Goodness. But that's the thing, too, is I think now we understand that when you have a team with that many big names, like you've got a window gets smaller and smaller. Like we've kind of learned to accept that, you know, you don't have those kind of mega teams only are going to be around for 3 or 4 years. You know, and so I think now looking back at it, it seems kind of quaint to think that the Bulls were just going to go on forever and ever. I mean, because we've seen it enough times since then that you'll have these mega teams, but they've got like a 3-year window and that's about it before these guys need bigger contracts and you just can't afford to keep everybody. And egos don't allow everybody to work together. Somebody demands a trade and eventually the whole thing falls apart.
I will say this. I think Jerry Krause is being thrown under the bus here somewhat. I mean, he GM'd 6 titles for the
team.
Right.
You can't
do
that by
accident. Like, no, right.
He can't defend himself because he's
– Right, he's dead. Yeah. Oh. And Bernie Pleskov, he's a baseball scout that I follow. Bernie said that him and Jerry were actually buddies and that he was a phenomenal baseball scout. And what that means is the guy understood talent is what it tells me. He was a phenomenal evaluator of talent, period, whether it be baseball, basketball, whatever. And look, Michael Jordan obviously was a force of nature. He was incredible and, in my opinion, the greatest basketball player of all time. That being said, Michael Jordan never won a championship by himself. If he would have, he would have done it before Scottie Pippen. He would have done it before those moves. And he took terrible – I mean, oh, my God, how were the Bulls so terrible that he scored 63 points against the Celtics and they still got beat by 13? Like, how terrible was the 85 Bulls? You know, or 84 Bulls, whatever it was. Uh-huh. Horrible. But Michael didn't do it with those teams. You know what I'm saying? So, like, obviously pieces had to come along and be put around him because it's a five-man game. I don't care how great you are. You can't play one-on-five and actually win a championship, yeah. You know. And Krause has got to get credit for that because a lot of teams – I mean, LeBron doesn't win it every year. You know what I'm saying? And not that Michael won it every year, but he did there for a little while. You know what I'm saying? Like, he did win it every year for there for a little while.
Oh, I mean, to win three in a row and then have your dad murdered because of gambling debts that you have and have to be told to leave basketball and go pretend to play baseball for 18 months and then come back and win three more in a row and then retire is like the coolest thing ever, yeah. Right? Some of that might be true. Some of that might be really sure. They haven't really touched on that yet in the documentary. I'm wondering when they get to that part.
So, neat.
That's wait, what
facts?
I don't know anything about what you just said.
Oh, yeah. It's okay. Actually –
you know, Michael Jordan's dad was murdered.
I don't think right? I knew that.
Yes, he was.
Okay, and the urban legend is that it was because Michael, who's a known big-time gambler, may have gotten in too deep with some people who can kill people. His sojourn into baseball was David Stern, the commissioner, saying, you got to go. Like, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. You need to do something else.
Interesting.
And figure your life out. And that was his sabbatical into minor league baseball. Yeah. Now, that's never been confirmed. The only true part that we know of is his dad was murdered. Was it random or was it not?
Yeah.
Huh.
And you didn't have ESPN like we have today sitting around and willing to throw out all kinds of conspiracy theories back then. Now, oh, man, now if that happened, ESPN would run with every conspiracy theory possible. You know,
yeah.
But
yeah.
It would probably be because he was black, if we're honest. But
now I can't imagine how much money Michael Jordan would have to owe that Michael Jordan can't pay back, even in like 1993, 94. Like,
yeah.
Just I know contracts weren't the same, but
my guess,
Nike money, the McDonald's money,
not that he didn't have the money to pay it back. It was more likely that he said, "I'm not paying you back." You know, that's probably I'm Michael Jordan. You know,
yeah, and call their bluff, and then
right,
his father got.
I don't know. So I'm not going to go there. Interesting fact about this: did you know that the documentary crew who recorded most of this, you know, who put that together back in the 90s?
Who?
Adam Silver.
Oh.
And when it happened, he told Michael that Michael Jordan would control whenever all this footage was allowed to be used. And only
really?
After LeBron won in 2016, and that's what for him, five titles?
No.
LeBron got five? Four or five?
I don't think it's five.
Did it put enough pressure possibly on Michael? This is at least the thought, that it put enough pressure on Michael to say, hey, let me remind you guys that I am the greatest of all time. And that LeBron is
that's
not.
That's fantastic.
And Adam Silver, of course, is for those who aren't into the NBA, Adam Silver is now the GM of the NBA. Or the, what is it, president? What do they call him? Commissioner?
Commissioner.
Commissioner. That's the word I'm looking for. Of the NBA.
I'm looking up LeBron.
Looks like an alien.
Yeah. He does look very, very weird.
Weird looking fella.
I will say this about Jerry Krause. While I do defend him in the fact of I think he was probably a pretty good GM, he was also not a very
three-time champion. Three-time champion.
Oh, three-time. Okay.
That's
three.
Nothing.
So one with Cleveland, two with Miami?
He won with Miami. He won with Cleveland.
Was it two with Miami?
I think it was two in Miami. Yeah. Feels like it should have been more, but
I just love that. It's just
wow.
The people that think he's better.
I mean,
they're all under 28 years old, by the way.
One thing, it's a totally different player than Michael Jordan. If you're comparing LeBron to anybody, it's Magic Johnson.
Yeah.
The way they can distribute the ball, play all five positions. Now,
he's
if you're comparing Michael to Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan are, I mean,
you can have that conversation.
Exact prototype.
Yeah.
Exactly same player as Michael Jordan. From tenacity on the court to, I mean, There's actually a video on YouTube, and it shows, like, they did it after Kobe died.
Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah, I mean, it's identical. Like, the jump shot and everything. And Kobe has said, and he's later on, he'll be in the documentary, that he modeled everything after Jordan. And so, yeah, to me, it's compare Kobe and Michael. LeBron is way closer from an on-court player to Magic Johnson than it'll be like comparing who's the best football player, Tom Brady or Jim Brown. Well, they're two different positions, two different.
LeBron is the most okay. If we're doing it simply off of physical build, athleticism, LeBron is the most athletic player in my opinion to ever play the game of basketball. No, he wins that. Like, he's the most athletic. To be 6'7", 240, or whatever he is, and move that way is insane. That's ridiculous. Freaking nature.
Do you count that as more of a benefit than, say, an Allen Iverson, who's 6 foot and 160? I mean,
I do. Now, I'm not talking about skill. I'm not talking about any actual playing ability. I'm just saying, like, actual physical athleticism in the sense of the way he's built.
Right, but
there's
never
been another basketball player.
LeBron won the genetic lottery and happened to be built.
Right, exactly. Exactly. No doubt.
You know,
no doubt. Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm saying that's what makes him unique, is there's never been another player like that in the league that was built like that and can move like that. I mean,
yeah,
I don't know anybody that fits that build and that mode. I mean, he's literally a defensive back. You know, but bigger.
Yeah,
he's Jadeveon Clowney playing basketball.
Yeah,
or J.J. Watt.
Right. No, I mean people could not physically. It wasn't a matter of scheming against him. It was a matter of I cannot physically block this guy because he does things
exactly.
I cannot do.
Exactly.
This is not a Charles Barkley who is 6'4" and a chubby 260 pounds. This is a chiseled.
Right.
6'8", 275-pound 19-year-old
monster
who can handle the ball like a point guard,
right,
and drive the lane like Isaiah Thomas. I mean, and finish at the rim like he should.
But I don't think LeBron's ever had the ball handling skills or the shot ability or the sheer competitive athleticism, even the competition side of it. I don't think LeBron's
agreed.
Ever been anywhere near what Michael was. Not even
Can
close.
Can you imagine?
Yeah,
Can
totally
you,
agree.
You've seen these two episodes of the documentary. Can you imagine this guy that they're focusing on that's going to sit down and have a press conference and say he's joining forces with two of the other top 10 players in the league and creating a super team? Can you imagine? Like, Michael Jordan? No, he'd want to kill those guys. He'll hug them later in the offseason. Maybe they'll go play some, you know, go to Vegas together and take a guy's trip or something. But when the season was on, it was like he didn't even. They went to Paris and won that stupid tournament, and he sat there like, doesn't count. Congrats to everybody that thinks this is winning something, but winning was the only thing that mattered to him, and he didn't care about being friends with anybody. He was there to win championships. He was there to be the best player he could
right.
be, and win the title. That's what mattered to him. That's what drove him. The thought of him ever teaming with, say, Charles Barkley and Hakeem Olajuwon to create a super team, that would have made him sick. Like, his drive is to be better than those
for
guys,
sure.
not to join forces with those guys.
Yeah, I mean, I agree completely. It's and I will say this, you do have to be a little bit fair to him in the sense of, would he have joined with superstars? Well, he kind of did. I mean, Scottie Pippen is every bit as good as Dwayne Wade ever was.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion,
well, yeah, but he didn't like orchestrate that to the extent that, you know, LeBron has and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah, maybe. I'm just saying, like, he's right. I agree with you. He did not orchestrate it in the sense of saying yes, like, I'm going to go to this team. But they also kind of couldn't at that time either. So agency was different back then. I'm not saying you're wrong, though. It's really weird. Let me give you this crazy stat. This came from Ryan Spader. He does a lot of baseball stuff, too.
Oh, yeah, I think I saw this.
LeBron James could average 50 points per game over his next 191 games played. At that point, he would have 43,637 career points, and he would still have fewer points per game than Michael Jordan.
That's wild.
That's insane. Yeah.
That just tells you – and look, that LeBron may play several more years, and that number will get closer, but it will never be what Jordan's was. And people can say what they want, but every team LeBron's been on has very much been the type of feed the ball to LeBron, feed the ball to LeBron. And Michael was very much that way for sure, but LeBron has never consistently hung 63 or 50 or even 45 every night, you know. And I mean, yeah. I mean, Michael did that every freaking night. He went out, and you could go to a Jordan game, and every night he would hang up 45. You know, it mm-hmm. was just you. I'm not saying okay. I'm sure there were a few nights off, obviously, but for the most part, out of four games, Michael was going to hang more than 35 points in at least two to three of them. You know, mm-hmm. crazy. Now, Josh, one thing I did find funny was Jordan goes to the Bulls. Okay, he gets drafted. He goes to the Bulls. Mm-hmm. The Bulls are a terrible team. And he shows up, and they're basically a rolling Coke party. Did you catch all that? Like, mm-hmm. like the entire yeah. 80s Bulls, like, they don't play basketball. They're
and that
there.
Wasn't just basketball either. If you guys have read – I've got a crap ton of old baseball books, but like if you read baseball books about the 80s and 70s, like it wasn't just basketball, my friend. It was
if like you Darryl were on Strawberry,
the,
yeah.
yeah, if you were – I mean even like the fucking – the Royals of the early 80s. I guarantee you Joe Simpson, their stuff that he did and knew and saw, like you know what I mean? Like that was just sports. That was sports early mid-80s.
Like
you did cocaine and you got banged.
Our generation has no reference for the 80s and how – Coke operated upper end society, like
even in
mid level society. But like, if you were in big city and you made more than like $35,000-$40,000 a year,
right?
You did a lot of coke, you know. Like I mean, a lot of coke. Probably the best reference for that, like if you want to like get a feel for how that worked, is what's the name of that movie, Josh? Is it American Psycho? Where he murders people in that JT will know. We were talking about coke problems in the 80s and is American
that's not why I ran to the bathroom by the way.
I figured is the best movie for people to get a reference to that probably American Psycho, where you get a reference for just how many people were doing coke in the
80s. That's a very good cocaine movie. Best cocaine movie.
I guess Scarface has some of that, but it doesn't feel realistic. No, right, exactly.
It's not like everybody was a drug war.
I mean, it was probably real, but it doesn't feel like everybody.
No, I think American Psycho is good. It shows like the just how social it was.
Right.
Socially acceptable.
Yeah.
Maybe something like a Son of Sam or Studio 54.
Okay.
Do they do coke in Saturday Night Fever? I can't remember.
I don't remember.
That seems like they would. Mm-hmm. Seems like they would do it. Something like that, maybe. You know, that the late 70s disco lifestyle kind of movies. But American Psycho is a really good one.
Yeah. Yeah.
It shows the it's a very mid-80s feel, which
right.
I love.
We were just talking about Huey Lewis
in the news without thinking of that movie.
Yeah, we were talking about the Chicago Bulls being a rolling coke party when Michael arrived.
Every team was a rolling coke party.
That's what we were saying. Yeah,
that's what I was saying. Yeah,
every baseball team.
Yeah,
every football
team.
Yeah,
that's what you did. You banged chicks and you did coke.
A lot of it,
and you played sports.
Yeah,
I was telling Josh that I don't think our generation appreciates how much coke was done, like the extreme amounts of coke that was done.
Yeah,
imagine the number of people you knew in high school that smoked weed.
And really, like it was really the looking back on it, I think it was kind of the dumbasses that you'd hear about, right? Like so.
Yeah.
I don't know another way to say this, but Doc Gooden is not a smart human being. He's a dumbass. If you've like heard him speak and interviews.
He's like a brain dead baseball player, like most of them are.
Yeah, yeah. And so he gets caught several times, and all you heard about were those kind of guys. But I'm telling you, like, maybe I can name names that are like dead, like the Gary Carters of baseball. Like, those guys were probably just as promiscuous as your Doc Goodens in the early to mid 80s. They were just, for the most, except for, like, you know, your Dale Murphys, obviously. And there were some clean people for sure, but, like, it was just super prevalent, man.
That's like people being all retrospect on, like, Pete Rose and stuff, and rumors about Pete Rose with young girls and different things. And I'm not condoning it.
His whole teammate probably was, yeah.
Right. I'm not condoning it in the least. I'm simply saying, like, if you were rich and you were a sports icon, you did whatever the heck you wanted. Like, whoever you were.
Exactly. People think now, like, oh, Joe Morgan, who was on, you know, part of that Big Red Machine, you know, people now think he's like this professional, you know, model citizen. Y'all crazy.
I guarantee you no one knows the stories from Hank Aaron, and no one knows the stories of you filling your favorite superstar, you know, that you think is a good
and
guy.
The Pirates. We'll have to get D.O.B. back on one day and just to talk about the Pirates.
Yeah. Like, the 79 Pirates. I don't think he's ever leaving his house again. I think he's protesting.
Yeah, I saw it on Facebook. The Pirates, like, they probably bathed in Coke before every game, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, seriously, before there was PEDs, there was Coke.
Yeah.
And a lot of these guys took it. And, Josh, you remember that article? There was a fantastic article about 2 years ago written on ESPN about a small B-League team in L.A. or somewhere that – a lot of big name players would, like, fall back to if they got in trouble or different things. And they literally had guys assigned on the team to bring Coke to practices. Do you remember reading this? It was an article in ESPN. It was like one of these 30 page articles that ESPN.
It was almost like a team bonding thing. Like, doing cocaine was like a team exercise. Like, they were all, you know, the whole team would do Coke, and they were all in it together, you know, with each other, for each other, you know, fueled up on cocaine in the attic. And
sorry, I'm totally standing right now.
I see that. It was socially acceptable in a way that we couldn't imagine it today. Like, you know what I mean? Like, now, if your favorite athlete got busted for cocaine, you'd be like, whoa, I had no idea. Like, Tommy Hansen, great idea. Like great idea. Great example. When Tommy Hansen passed away, everyone was like, and then you heard rumors of being like, oh, yeah, you know, he was a frequent partier and was at bars and yada, yada, yada. But it was like he was the lone wolf. You know what I mean? Like, in the 80s, you had like half the roster of Tommy Hansen's. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
It was just.
It's true. Yeah. And the coaching staff.
You know who I want to get on the show more than anything right now? Ron Washington.
Yeah.
You don't want to talk about stories to tell. This man was managing the Rangers and tested positive for cocaine. That was like 2008.
Yeah.
Dude, my man Ron has lived. He's seen some things. So,
well, I mean, you got guys that, like, Steve Howe, you know, who gets suspended by the Dodgers and fined one more salary after admitting a drug problem. He reports late for a game and gets suspended 2 days by the Dodgers. He missed a team flight to Atlanta and was suspended. This is in 1983, suspended indefinitely by the Dodgers for what the team says is cocaine dependency. He goes into substance abuse rehab. Then in December of 83, he gets suspended for 1 year by Commissioner Bowie Kuhn for cocaine use. I mean, like, this goes on and on and on. And to think that he's, like, the only one is a joke. He's one that got caught, you know.
If I could recommend a book, I think I've plugged it a couple times before over the last 3 years, but one of my favorite books of all time that you got to read is Have Glove Will Travel by Bill Spaceman Lee.
Yeah.
It's such a good book, man. And it's about his,
he's a whack job,
you
man,
know. But... Yeah. He's so eclectic and he's super interesting. He's actually a really good writer. I don't even know how to, I don't even know how to explain Bill Lee to young people who don't know who that is. It would be like if I don't know. It would be like if somebody like Kenny Mayne's personality or something was a baseball player. I don't, just a weird, eclectic, funny, quirky guy. But he writes about his time in Montreal in like the late 70s, and just, you talk about, like, you think Doc Ellis was the guy, like Bill Lee was the guy.
Mm.
Just coked up, doing heroin, just waking up with like four chicks,
and then, hey, like, guys,
having to go to the park.
It's only different drugs now.
Yeah.
Like, don't pretend like it's not the same way now where rich folks do whatever they want. I mean, you look at baseball and you've got Josh Hamilton's and you've got Tyler Skaggs and you've got all kinds of people, Tommy Hansen's. You got people that they're and Josh, we've talked about this before, and I really don't mean this as like a shot, but a lot of these guys, their entire identity has been wrapped up in baseball since they were 16 years old, and they never grew past that. So they're not really complete humans. Like, someone's always told them they're the best person in the room, and they're the best athlete in the room. And then they get to a pro level, and they're suddenly not the best athlete on the team anymore, and they introduce to failure for the first time at 26 years old, 27 yep. years old. And these guys, they're like, I need an escape. I have a lot of money. Hey, this seems pretty obvious. Let's bang chicks, do drugs, live life, because I'm tired of getting my identity from something that I'm no longer.
I don't know what else.
No longer the best at. You know,
I
yeah.
haven't lived at home since I was 18. I never went to college and
learned
how to become an adult. I was given a lot of money at a young age.
Yeah.
Living on my own at 19. I mean, how about I just owned a house at 19? You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to do that.
I can't imagine being like 22, 23 years old and making like $10 million a year.
Right. I mean.
Yeah. Much less, way over that. Yeah.
I would be
think about like that in terms of the NFL draft that's coming up this week. You got guys that are, some of these guys are 20 years old and they're about to be millionaires and like have to do adult things. Like,
that's crazy.
Buy a home. And not just a home like we have. Not the homes we live in, but a big old home, probably more than one, probably buying one for the parents too, and the cars and all that other stuff.
And then we're shocked when they get caught crossing the Texas border with 150 right. pounds of weed in the back of their car. You know, like that happened, or, what, 3 months ago, you know?
Or if they get killed on a yacht at 4 a.m. with drugs in their system.
Yeah, I mean, people were shocked because Jose Fernandez is such a good guy.
Right.
And there's no doubt that he was coked out of his mind probably when this happened. You know, good people do stupid stuff. Like, it doesn't make you a bad person if you've done drugs. Like, that's not how this works. I know a lot of good people that have done some really stupid stuff that they really regret, you know. But that being said, rich people do also, let's be 100% clear, I really have no idea if Jose Fernandez was a good person or not. Just because you do good stuff doesn't make you a good person either. So, he seems like he really enjoyed playing baseball.
Also, he seemed to have really good pitches, like, and he threw the baseball. But it often went in his favor. I went to the game that he pitched against Alex Wood at Turner Field, and it had the most combined strikeouts of like in like a long time, and the game was over in like an hour and a half. It was ridiculous.
Here's my in-person memory of him. 2016, front row. I'm in the SunTrust section because I got a hookup at the radio station WLAQ in Rome, Georgia. Front row. And Braves are playing Marlins. Ichiro. Got to see Ichiro. My redneck brother gets shit-faced on tequila because it was free.
Nice.
Or included in the ticket. If you guys have never done it, like, you guys have to. Somebody
I'd
needs
like
to
get the
to
free
SunTrust
tequila tickets.
Sweet tickets.
Somebody.
that it's included, dude. The SunTrust section, which is like the, you know, the first four or five rows behind home plate, it is like an all inclusive. Imagine a carnival cruise, and baseball had a baby, dude. You go back there, JT. They have like filet mignon, a full bar. You don't pay a dime. They don't take your money. You can try to pay. You can try to pay a tip, and they would turn away. Anyways, where's I going with this? Oh yeah, Jose Fernandez. I think the Braves were winning or tied up or something. And that motherfucker comes in. Yeah, he can swing the bat too. Double. Man. As a pinch hitter. As a pinch hitter.
He could definitely
so swing that was my watching that memory.
You know, I hear stories like this.
But no, for the record, being good at baseball doesn't make you a good person. Just to be clear.
Also, throwing your kid a baseball that you didn't pay for doesn't make him a great person.
Hey,
also,
hey, for the record, guys, like Chipper Jones is probably a terrible human being the entire time.
Oh, stop it.
I mean, like 100%.
Matt Jones
he's probably
might
a terrible
be human
being. Okay, I think Chipper.
I don't care. He probably was still a terrible
listen,
person.
Listen, I think Chipper was a prime example of getting too rich too young. I think Chipper Jones in 2020 is a really good dude. I think Chipper Jones in 1990, maybe not so much, but hey.
I'll be 100% honest. I have no idea if Chipper's a better person now or not, but like I will say that I think he's probably a lot better person than he was when he played baseball.
I think Chipper has done more of a job of owning himself. And he's in that John Daly realm of athletes, Joe Namath realm of athletes that have so owned their missteps that they endear themselves to a lot of people. That I like Chipper Jones more
absolutely.
Because I can relate to Chipper Jones more than I can, say, a Tony Gwynn. You know,
Phil Mickelson.
Yeah, right.
Phil Mickelson, probably 80-grade douchebag, but doesn't have an ounce of humility.
Right. Well, just being a real person. You know what I mean? Like, and Chipper.
Kenny's like, what? Yeah.
Like, you can't read Chipper's book and not be like, oh, my God, I love this guy. You know what I mean?
Like, every report in the world is that Phil Nicholson's the nicest person that anyone's ever met. And Josh is like, 100% douchebag. Yeah. Hey, but Josh, here's the number one problem with what you just said. That is...
There's nothing wrong with what I just said.
No, 100%. This is the problem with what you just said. Sitting in those four rows behind home plate, SunTrust Park, where they give you everything, that's not social distancing. You're a terrible person.
Oh, that was 2016, though.
Thanks for listening to the nation's leading replacement-level podcast. Nakahoma Nation is brought to you by Nakahoma Nation patrons. To become a patron, visit patreon.com/Nakahoma Nation. For new episodes and content, visit nakahomanation.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at NakahomaNTN. Special thanks to Research Assistant Braves Options Guy. And spiritual advisor John D. Howard. See you next week, knuckleheads.